Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, why the Freedom Caucus isn't going to oust Speaker Mike Johnson for now. Number two, Republicans rebuffed a funding request for the Baltimore Bridge. And number three, the latest from the vault. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We have a top this morning with a very interesting look at the frustration that members of the House Freedom Caucus have with Speaker Mike Johnson. That's real frustration. We're reporting here that even some are furious. But so far, this group of hardline Republican conservatives are not signing on to Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's call to oust Johnson. This is a big move for Johnson because, you know, everybody's been kind of waiting and watching to see whether or not this was going to kind of manifest this week.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, here's the reality is that even if no Freedom Caucus people sign on to it, they could still win a motion to vacate without Democrats, meaning that he'd still need Democrats to sign on. But if you look at this top this morning by Mika, Brez, and the rest of the team, a bunch of the Freedom Caucus stalwarts are just not getting onto it. Josh Brasheen said, "I'm not sure if we vacate him, we'll come out with a more conservative solution." Scott Perry also suggests the same. So this is not a it's not like they're all lining up behind this. I'll say in addition to that, perhaps they've learned their lesson, right? I mean, they ousted McCarthy, they got Johnson, and they got kind of the, you could argue, the same kind of governing that they had under McCarthy, perhaps even worse. Bob Good, the chair of the Freedom Caucus, said, "We need to wait until November and have a speaker contest." He said that he's weakening himself effectively, and they should wait until after the election to try to get rid of him. Now, listen, there is a, also on top of it, there just is a, this is a strategic move on their behalf. They don't want to be blamed for more chaos. But I can't imagine. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said his days as speaker are numbered. I can't see Greene backing off here. There are people who think that she's, her bark is worse than her bite, so to speak. But she is saying time and time again that she's going to go through with this. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, and we'll keep mentioning it, there's not a ton of big ticket legislating left for the year. We've gotten rid of most of it. We've gotten past most of it. Johnson today is announcing a house-wide crackdown on anti-Semitism on college campuses amid the worsening protests at Columbia and here locally at GW. This is a, he's on safe ground, Johnson, at least legislatively for the time being, after getting rid of dealing with Ukraine funding, government funding, debt ceiling, all of those things. So, Anna, that's where we stand with the motion to vacate. Again, I can't imagine she doesn't pull the trigger, but, only time will tell.
I do think one thing that's interesting is former President Donald Trump is backing Johnson, which gives him a lot of cover despite the frustration. Worth noting that he's been able to continue to have Trump support him so far. We'll have to see if that continues, but obviously that is something that a lot of the Republican Party and certainly House Republicans look to Trump and his body language on a variety of issues. And we've seen that time and again, certainly when it came to killing the border immigration deal earlier this year. And so far, Johnson and Trump seem to be in a pretty good place. Also, we've got a little scooplet this morning. There's new pressure on Johnson to take up the Senate-passed Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, RECA. More than 24 lawmakers signed a letter to Johnson this morning urging him to pass it before the program expires in June. It's also possible that the Senate could jam the House with RECA reauthorization as part of the FAA bill in the coming days. So something to watch. Let's move to the number two story of the morning. We've got some behind the scenes maneuvering news this morning. The Republican congressional leaders stifled an attempt by the White House and Hill Democrats to include a federal cost-sharing measure for the Baltimore Bridge disaster as part of the FAA reauthorization bill. According to three sources familiar with the matter, the White House has yet to send Congress an official funding request to cover the cost of the deadly Francis Scott Key Bridge accident. Of course, the 47-year-old bridge collapsed after it was struck by a cargo ship on March 26th. Six workers were killed in that accident. But the funding, and we talked a lot about it in the days after the collapse, that we expected there to be a major funding request. The White House kind of didn't put a dollar figure on it for a while. But interesting to see here that right now, Republicans pushing off this funding request.
Yeah, no, this was actually going to be our top this morning, but we shifted gears after the vote, after we got some more comments and some more reporting on the Mike Johnson situation. This is very interesting, and this highlights, Anna, the fact that the FAA is really the last train out of the station, that the administration was trying to get this federal cost share provision for funding the Baltimore Bridge into this FAA bill, but we're not able to due to just the resistance, the hesitation of some Republicans who say it's a little bit too early. The administration hasn't come to us with a number for the Baltimore Bridge situation, and we already have a cost share provision. Now, there's some disagreement about that, but this is, again, anything that you want passed effectively in the next 4 months needs to go in this FAA bill, because things are going to dramatically shift to campaigning and to messaging things over the next couple months. And the next real must-pass situation will be at the end of September, that government funding bill that will have to be passed to avert a shutdown at the end of September for 2025 spending. The Maryland government is very eager to get this taken care of, and so is the Biden administration, but it'll have to wait for the time being. And it does highlight again the challenge it will take, the big challenge in getting a getting Congress to act on this bridge in an election year. Not going to be easy.
And this one of the number three story of the morning from The Vault. Laura Weiss has an item looking at how Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is going to tout tax season as a success at a tax writer's hearing this morning. We expect her to talk about the good signs when it comes to the economy and efforts to transform the IRS. Yellen will make a trip to the House Ways and Means Committee, where she'll lay out priorities in the Biden administration's tax agenda, including a billionaire minimum tax and higher taxes on stock buybacks. She'll also highlight tax filing season results, according to a copy of her prepared remarks that we obtained. Going to be interesting to see. Obviously, whatever Yellen says, people watch it very closely, particularly when it comes to the economy going into the 2024 election cycle.
Yeah, this is there's a lot, as we mentioned yesterday in the midday, I believe, edition. There are a lot of people, a lot of administration officials on the Hill this week, grinding away, pushing for 2025 spending priorities. Because remember, although we just cleared 2024 spending, Congress needs to start focusing on 2025 spending, which I think comes up in about 153 days, Anna, at the end of September. But you're right. Whenever Yellen comes to the Hill, this is a market-moving event, both for politics and for markets, for financial markets. We got a sneak peek at that testimony this morning in the vault. Yellen, who was obviously in charge of the IRS, talks about the 2024 tax season and says, "We met and exceeded all the goals we set for this filing season." And remember, Anna, we've reported this a couple times, but the IRS also launched a direct file pilot program, a way for consumers to file their own taxes with the IRS through a portal that the IRS launched on its own. So very interesting.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate. Just a quick reminder that you can join Punchbowl News at 9 a.m. for a conversation with Representative Rosa DeLauro. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be interviewing her along with senior congressional reporter Andrew Desiderio to talk news of the day, national security modernization, and warfighter readiness in the United States. You can RSVP for that at our Punchbowl News events hub at punchbowl.news. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also go deeper on everything we talked about this morning and more by signing up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.